Radio Molossia.
News break. This month's news in the Republic of Molossia.
The birthplace of Molossia, 15 August 2026. The Republic of Molossia was not always the grand nation you see today. Our nation had a modest beginnings indeed. Molossia was born on 26 May 1977 in a small bungalow in Portland, Oregon. It was originally named the Grand Republic of Voltstein and was founded upon inspiration after two young men, James Spielman and Kevin Baugh, watched the old movie The Mouse That Roared. The duo were inspired by the imagination and creativity of the film to found their own nation, the aforementioned Voltstein. The said founding took place in this small house in Portland. The new nation quickly had all the trappings that a country needs, including a flag, money, stamps, laws, and even a fictional history and an equally fictional location, an island off the coast of France. James was a king and Kevin was a prime minister. Yes, it was a republic with a king and a prime minister. Not long after the founding, King James moved on to other projects, but Prime Minister Kevin stayed with the idea and continued to build and grow Voltstein, eventually changing the name to Molossia and establishing it permanently on territory with Nevada. But we have not forgotten our humble beginnings, and recently His Excellency President Kevin Baugh had the opportunity to visit the birthplace of Molossia, a tiny little house on a quiet side street in Portland. From a modest foundation to the great nation we see today, the tiny spark has grown to a mighty flame indeed. In other news, General Lissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. Solar power in Molossia, 27 August 2026. The Great Basin Desert in which the Republic of Molossia lies averages about 300 days of sun a year. This, plus our many windy days, makes renewable energy a sensible choice for powering our nation. Thus, solar power is used widely throughout Molossia, from powering virtually everything in Red Square to solar lights showing the way on the Trans-Molossia Trail. At night, our nation twinkles with lights, all powered by the sun. In addition, Molossia is committed to protecting and sustaining the environment, and using solar power is one of the principal ways that we accomplish that. We are especially proud of utilization of this resource, using the power of the sun to power Molossia.
Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I think so, Brain.
Not!
But don't camels spit a lot?
Out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way.
Out.
Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I think so, Brain.
Not.
But don't camels spit a lot?
Strange Adventure.
A short time ago, a group of friends paid their last respects to a man who had become a living legend of the Pacific Northwest. For John Huelsdonk, the Iron Man of Hole River, was dead. Many stories of him went the rounds of the lonely cabins and wild logging camps of the Olympic Peninsula of Washington. Stories of John's strength, daring, and fortitude, of his kindness and patience. Part of his income was derived from hunting cougars or mountain lions. He hunted at night. When his dogs treed a mountain lion, Huelsdonk sat a lantern at the base of the tree. The instant the animal turned so the light caused its eyes to shine, he fired. It was a moonless night when he and Pete Brandenberry went hunting on the slopes of Mount Tom. The dog suddenly gave voice and raced up the side of the mountain.
Come on, Pete. That means cougar.
The chase ended with the snarling beast atop a high stump and the dogs baying around the base. Huelsdonk instructed his friend.
Light the lantern and keep your gun handy. Usually takes more than one shot to finish these babies.
Pete followed orders and stood by. Just as the giant cat turned so its eyes caught the light, one of the dogs bumped against Pete, knocking the lantern from his hand. The small flame spattered and went out. Huelsdonk was already pressing the trigger. The sudden darkness caused his aim to falter slightly, and the shot went wild. The cougar sprang at Huelsdonk. He had no time to fire again or to parry the blow with his rifle. Leaping backward, he stumbled over a root, falling to the ground and losing his gun. The force of the tumble sent him rolling down the mountain slope till he piled up against a log. The two dogs leaped at the cougar. All three snarling, biting, tearing animals rolled down the mountainside, landing on top of Huelsdonk. John was trapped, unarmed and helpless in the midst of a savage battle in the darkness. At any minute, the cougar might kill the dogs or shake them loose. Then it would be free to turn on him. The dog's attack on the cougar forced it to roll over on its back, clawing wildly. Huelsdonk's arm slid around the neck of the cougar. Before it could turn its head, the hunter doubled his arm with his elbow just under the animal's lower jaw, locking it between his mighty bicep and his mighty forearm. The dogs, evidently sensing that they might hurt their master, backed away and circled. Pete relighted the lantern and scrambled down the slope to his friend's rescue. There was a heavy thud as his rifle butt crushed down and the wild fury of the beast was stilled. Huelsdonk examined the dead cougar and discovered his vice-like hold had broken the animal's jaw. He smiled at Pete.
Sure is a vicious-looking thing. We better not tell anybody about this, though. I don't want people to think I tortured the brute before it was killed.
This is Pat McGeehan in Hollywood, California, saying goodbye from my writer, Charles Crowder, and inviting you to listen to Quick Return, our next tale of Strange Adventure.
You're listening to Radio Molossia.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not. On November 26th, 1703, the great Eddystone Lighthouse off Plymouth, England, was demolished by a storm. Henry Whistonleigh, the builder, died in the disaster. At the same time, in Whistonleigh's home, 200 miles away, a replica of the lighthouse fell from a shelf and was smashed. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a castle owned by the devil.
Lips like sandpaper? Get Mad Mustang Lip Balm and put those lips at ease.
The last earthly owner of the Chateau of Tiffauges in France was Gilles de Rais, who's identified as the original Bluebeard. He is said to have murdered 140 young boys. Gilles conveyed to the devil title to all his property. There's a deed still in existence vesting in the devil the ownership of the castle, thus making Satan the legal owner of this bit of French real estate. Believe it or not.
Pondering what I'm pondering?
I think so, Brain, but this time you put the trousers on the chimp.
Radio Molossia.